can we see in the camera? Can we see it with this? That's all right.
Oh, we're live. Well, so we kind of Frankie sprung that one on us there. So we're live. Welcome back to the Bad Patter Podcast. Coming back at you again, obviously. We've got a special guest on this time. First of all, I'm joined always by my co-host Chris Bungard. How's it going, Chris?
How we doing, man? What episode is this?
Six for it, aye.
Six episodes.
Aye, this is the quickest we've rolled out episodes. Obviously, I think normally we've been about a month apart or something, but
we broke a bag for this one.
Aye. And he's might recognise the guy sitting in the middle, the UFC's Paul Craig. How's it going, Paul?
Aye, not too bad, man. It's a cool wee setup you've got here, man.
That's not bad.
Fucking rustic. Getting some bad power with the boys.
It certainly is rustic.
I don't know if I like being in the middle.
The guest's always in the middle, mate.
Is it?
I don't.
Is this a good time to tell Chris about the wee chair setup?
Oh, I know. Come in.
You never even noticed. Have a look at the chair setup, Chris.
That's it, man. I just chose not to. Lower myself to your standards, James.
I think they're trying to get you to bite, son.
So
then they get me Pink Monster, I know.
The purple
know,
was.
Monster on this, I don't know.
I don't know. We've said it now, so fuck it.
Well, the sponsor are Bellator and UFC, so we're kind of a.
Hey, you know
what
I
mean?
I just don't me there.
What about, like, so 0-0, you go just fucking.
This cunt just fucking gives me the pink after Bret Hart, and I'm no sleeping tonight.
I figured that.
I'm no sleeping tonight.
Well, what I've done is I've set that one away for you, but then I realise you've got really long arms, so and I can't reach too much further.
I'm an athlete.
Talking about that, obviously you've got something coming up in Philly. You've got some business to take care at the end of the month against a gentleman who Kennedy.
I'm pretty sure his name is like Nunchaku or Nunchaku.
Kennedy Nunchaku, so
Nunchaku we'll go for.
Obviously the UFC is sending you another gentleman who's never tasted defeat.
Yep.
Once again.
6-0.
6-0, that's right.
6-0, 6'5", southpaw, nothing we've never seen before, you know.
How many guys zeros you've taken that?
We're a bit long in the tooth when it comes to southpaws as well. We've had Dan Kalayev, southpaw. We had Carol Moore, southpaw. Trying to be also fought southpaw. And I fight, what's his name, every other week? Coops. Southpaw. So it's not as if it's like people get bogged down, they're like, oh, it's southpaw, and it's different. It's no, it's just
no different if you're drilling with a southpaw.
So is it just about, is it anything else, it's repetition then? It's getting used to it?
But because we've done so many southpaw fights, like we've spent a lot of time learning these techniques.
Mm-hmm.
And it's become second nature to you. And it's actually easier to drift away,
Like
because you should always be going, not always, as Lawrence Murphy quote, never, never, never and always. you should be drifting to the right when you're fighting an orthodox fighter, but for this you're going to be drifting to the left, which is, it feels more natural to do anyway.
Aye.
And it sets up that nice big liver kick buff. Take that.
Oh, there you go.
We didn't move the camera.
All right. Are
we going?
Fucking gang, man. James is a Rangers fan, so the less we see him, the better.
Take it.
We need to hear him, though.
I might be wheezing anyway through this.
So this is your sixth fight in the UFC, P-Dog.
I know.
UFC veteran, man.
I know. We were talking about that today. Saying, like, when do you become a veteran in the UFC? Is it when you hit your second contract? Or is it when you hit a certain number of fights? Or is it when, it's like quite a lot of guys when they fucking like leave UFC, they've like had two fights and like, veteran.
Their Twitter bio or their Instagram, UFC vet times two. Like,
so I think, I'm going to leave the
you're definitely a vet.
I'm going to leave it out the now because it's one of my things when I'm like, when I'm like 50, I'll be like, oh, I was a UFC veteran.
Well, when did you? When was it you signed with the UFC?
2 years I've been with them. 2 years in November. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, Osaka.
Third
time in America.
It's one of the big benefits. We'll talk a wee minute about the headaches you can have as a fighter. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we spoke to you before. It's probably one of the biggest benefits of being a fighter, isn't it? No, just that getting to travel and see a bit of the world.
See people. Think that, but there's something good about just fighting in the UK. Like, see when you see that last fight, like it's like what I think it was like 26 hours by the time you have like a stopover, the time you fly, by the time you get to Australia, it was fucking horrible, man.
And like, you weren't a fan of Adelaide either, were you?
I'm going to be honest, like when I spoke to people and I was like, it's It's lovely. And I was like to Brian.
A certain person was he?
Brian, it was lovely. But the thing was, it was a fucking shithole. And I'm not going to lie to you, there was nothing to do, man. We went down to the beach and had like the life-saving championships.
You're holding
like,
away.
Nothing. It was honestly, we were hitting pads on the beach. Brian ended up getting sunburned because anyway, then start researching. It turns out they don't have an ozone layer.
What?
Like they don't. The ozone layer over the continent is like depleted, and right. It's like something like 1 in 3 people will develop cancer by the time they're 75. Skin cancer through this. Like, I'm firing out numbers here, and I'm firing out statistics. Like, don't fucking like. Check them out. They could be absolute bullshit.
So it's safe to say that this podcast is never getting sponsored by a travel agent. You've just killed. You've destroyed that.
I mean, you're never getting sponsored by Adelaide. It just wasn't a cool place. I didn't feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up pretty sick with the travel. I'm really bad, man. I get travel sickness going up and down in the elevator. I literally am not shitting you. We were down in Wales for Jordan's fight, and we were driving to the airport, and I had to. Pull in because I spewed my ring, spewed all over my trainers and their fabric shoes. I had to smell them the full fucking ride in the airport. Like,
we fabric trainers here.
Fabric, that's what's in.
Shout out to Jordan Strong and all for a victory. Paul was there. Paul talking through it a wee bit.
I've got to stop singing this guy's praise because what I don't want to happen is to put loads of pressure on him. Like, you know, when people are like, oh, he's the next big hang. But
He's got all the stuff, he's
able to strike. He was making this guy miss. The guy was flinging shots, and Jordan was just slitting them and delivering these leg kicks. The guy didn't want any of his leg kicks. He'd done a flying kick, and then in the last minute changed it to a knee. And I go in at the second half, and I go in at the break in the second half, like his football. Half time, lads. And I go in, and he's barely even breathing heavy, and it's just a normal day for him. He's an athlete. And I ask him the question, I always ask everybody, I'm like, are you having fun? And he's like, aye. And at that point, he's like, you know what, I'm having fun. And he had this smile on his face, and he just went and kicked shit out of the guy.
It just seems with Jordan, it's just about getting that balance right, especially with amateur fighters, because obviously a lot of amateur fighters, you've got to pay the bills, and fighting just doesn't do that.
No.
And you've got, I mean, with Jordan, it just seems like he's got to try to get that balance right with, obviously, paying the bills, but then getting in there and fighting. And
you know what? See, for any young athlete who believes, and their coach believes in them, I think they should have that conversation with themselves. Am I going to make it? Give themselves like 6 months to a year. Like, you'll vouch for this. One of the best things that ever happened was going full-time as a fighter.
Yep.
Having that ability to train during the day and relax mid-afternoon and then go back in at night. And you're able to push yourself that wee bit harder because you're not going out Monday 9 to 5, busting your ass for somebody else, and then coming in at night, and then you're like, oh, where the fuck were you, Bungie? What were you not training for? Well, I fucking just done that.
I've done a
10-hour shift, and now I've got to come into the gym and do another shift, because it's not an easy life to lead. So for me, if you're a young guy, you're staying with your parents, you've not got any bills, then why not take a crack at it? What's the worst that can happen? You set yourself back 6 months to a year in your life, which in the grand scheme of things isn't that bad.
Do that with a job as well. You can do that with uni. People go to college and just for nothing.
So betting on yourself, isn't it? Yeah. That's effectively what it is. It's taking a chance.
Yourself, man. Put a wee bit of time and effort into you and see what happens.
But hopefully, I mean, obviously we had a short interview with Jordan before it, and kind of seemed like this year he's looking to. Because I think for what I got for the interview, Ben, he was a wee bit frustrated. The guys have started at the same time as him, but they are maybe further on in terms of their fights.
In 4 years in the same day every year.
That's crazy.
You can't have a fight a year if you really
want to do it.
You know what I mean? So he knows that himself, so you'll probably see a lot more of him this year anyway.
I hope so. And I hope he doesn't spend a long time as an amateur because he's got the ability. And I think he'll be deadly. See, he's a pro. See, dropping elbows and his cage control and the length of him. Like, he's. For his weight class, he's really, really tall. Yeah. He never struggled to make that weight at all. He weighed in, underweight. The guy was like about 2 kilograms over his weight, and he absolutely murked him.
Did he miss weight?
The guy? No, the guy made weight, but just because Jordan's, he started doing some PT and he started learning about this kind of stuff, so his whole process of how to cut weight, how to look after his body, how to increase muscle mass and reduce fat, it's just made night and day to this guy.
So is that a switch he's made then, work-wise? Is he
he's still working and he's getting ready to make this transition.
Just telling everybody your life here, Jordan. So
I know. The book will be. Just while we're talking about sort of all the background stuff with fighters and that, something that folk don't see is like you're obviously getting ready to go out to Philly, but you've got your own things you need to sort out before going out. That's stuff that people don't see. So just tell us a wee bit about that so folk can get a wee insight.
So we're leaving we should be leaving around about like the 22nd, I'm saying, like, so that'll give us about 8 days to get sort of acclimatised. It's not a massive transition. So you need to get stuff like visas. And I had a visa. Mm-hmm. My visa ran out because I wasn't fighting in the US within that period. So the visa, once it ran out, they were like, we don't need to renew it because you're not fighting here at the moment. We then got a fight in the US, and now I need to sort another visa, which sounds pretty easy. Surely it's just like, this guy's the visa. Has he fucking committed any crimes? No. Visa, check. No. So I had to fill in the paperwork. Then they sent me an email saying, listen, we can't actually book you this appointment because we're in the US. You need to book it yourself. So I go on and I'm like, right, I wonder what appointment I'm going to get, because there's only two places you can go. You go to London or you go to Ireland. And I'm like, Ireland, it's easier. It's not going to be as busy. The capital's a pain in the dick to get about. So then I start looking at the dates to get my visa interview date there. It's like the 26th of March. I'm like, that's not happening, aye. So I was like, then started looking at London. So London's like the 13th, and I'm like, right, that's a week away. Right, that's a wee bit more achievable. And then you start looking at flights, and then there's no flights getting into London for 8 o'clock in the morning when the appointment is. And it's not as if they're like saying, come at this time, like between 8 to 9, which would be perfect. Yeah. It's like, you don't want to like fucking come at 8 o'clock, and you might get seen. You might not get seen at like 5 in the afternoon. Aye. And I'm just like, it's frustrating because you're constantly pushing with training, and then you've got to deal with this shit in the background, and people don't see that.
Is this because it's a working visa?
Because it's a working visa, I,
even though
I've got a cracking visa story. It's one of the funniest things that ever happened to me. So I'm in Ireland getting my first visa, and it's quite stressful because like I had to get up early in the morning, get fucking over to Ireland, and then I'm standing outside the embassy, and there's like loads of people all waiting to get in. The embassy opens up, they sign you and do all that stuff, and they sit you down. And it's pretty much this setup, loads of seats and a few tables there, and people shout you over, Mr. Craig, over you come. And I just love people watching, so I'm just kind of sitting just watching this lassie. Like, it might think this is shit, but the lassie's talking about her visa, and she's trying, it wasn't a visa she was getting an S that you go to the US, and she was going to Florida. I remember her full story. And they're like, do you know why you were not granted the Esther? And she's like, yeah, I get in a fight. And then they go to her. And what was the outcome of that? And she's like, I won. So this place is out, and I just go. So she turns around and looks at me, and because like
she's obviously a donut man.
So they're like, we're talking about like the prosecution where you charge, blah blah blah. And she was like, I had to go to court, and I was found guilty. And she's like, listen, we're not going to grant you an Esther due to this, blah blah blah. We need more information. You need to go away and bring it back. So at this point, right now, we'll not grant your Esther. Then she just turns into this fucking like proper schema. And she was starting going mental. I need to go. Where's my bun? And I'm just like, bravo. This is worth the trip. But just like, what was the outcome?
I won. Like, all the things she could have said, that is the best response she could have had.
But that way, I seen her like,
Larry, once where did you shag her?
Oh, brilliant. But that's a Guaya thing. But I just get into London, bollocks. So I need to go down the Tuesday night. It's just.
So it's, and I guess it's different for some other sports, because if you're using probably football as an example, it's not something the players would ever need to deal with in football.
The UFC did actually put in all the paperwork,
right.
But then it comes to this point where it's like, we can't do anymore.
So it's on you.
Like and it's like, how much do you want it? You need to do it, and then you need to get like a police form, which is like it's called an ACRO, but it's an English form.
All sorts of
information. Mine's just one sheet and nothing on it, but I still had to get it.
No, the one they sent me back. I'm not that bad.
Or did you have to fucking?
No, let's see.
So is your visa for Philly all sorted?
My Esther, is it?
Your Esther, sorry. So you'll just be sweating when you get to the border.
This is, so I'm going for my summer holidays. I'm travelling down the west coast. I booked. So this is a test run. Get the fellas. So any of you rats are watching me that don't like me.
Is this where you get the sort of benefit of the travel being involved in the fight game? Because you'll get to go there. But you're obviously dealing with weight cuts and everything else you're going to be fighting. Whereas you're not having to deal with that. Obviously, you'll be stressed out.
There's a bit of pressure off. Like obviously, Paul went through it with me, Newcastle there, but come fight then, you get a wee bit of butterflies. But it's good to watch your teammates knowing that it's not going to be you. You know that, you know cutting the weight.
Right.
But no, there's still that excitement and like nerves for your teammates as well, not me.
I know it's, as you're saying, it's like tit for tat. You go and you get that wee kind of like, because I remember when I was sitting back in that seat, I was like, like this is fucking tremendous, but thank fuck it's not me because I'm fucking, my stomach's churning. Because when you're fighting, you know you've done enough. But when you're like a cornerman, like you're like, has he done enough? And you can't say whether he's done enough or not. It's up to him to say that. So there's still that wee added set quarter sort of like, and it's the fight game. Like somebody has to win, somebody has to lose. And it doesn't matter, it doesn't even need to be like somebody, the best guy wins. It can be somebody's doesn't have a good night or somebody has a fucking tremendous night and it just happens to be. And it's happened to me. I've been in the receiving end when you're feeling good and then that fucking first time somebody grabs you and you're like, nah, I'm fuck off. And you're like, not this.
It is good when you're maybe cornering or travelling about and you're not fighting because you enjoy the hotel, you enjoy the food more. And then when you're the fighter, you're not eating what you want and you're not really enjoying like, the travelling, but following him about, I'm looking forward to filling out.
Obviously, last week's podcast, we spoke in length about Bellator and everything like that. What was your thoughts of, like, down in Newcastle, obviously, because spoke to Chris, I was there myself, kind of shared what we thought. What was it like for you down there?
Tremendous. You know, it's just shows you how much UK MMA scenes developing and how much Bellator believes in the European and UK scene. They're investing time, they're bringing all their fighters and they're putting on an event and all it's doing is improving MMA. Like, we spoke about this the other day, like how many fans, followers did you get just from being on Bellator? It's crazy. That's amazing. And I think like with the UFC, unless you've got BT Sports or you've got the fight package for UFC Fight Pass, you're not watching the UFC weekly.
No.
But with regards to Bellator, you've got access to it. It's like, I download that is.
And what was the emotions like for you? Obviously, just the way Everton went in the fight, you know what the build-up was like to it, obviously, like, who Chris was fighting. What was that like for you, just watching the 2 minutes and whatever?
I'm going to be honest, man. I thought Chris
never forget Chris, that turn. Never forget.
Chris is going to fuck him up, right? He just... I seen him and he wasn't as big as like he wasn't that. I always seen him being quite big, but then when you see him standing next to Chris, I'm like, you're not
big
that
on big. The telly, didn't he? Aye, big on the telly.
That's a couple of pounds, and I always thought like, oh, this is going to be a tough fight. But when I seen him, I was like, Chris is going to fucking annihilate you. And then it was just like a dad wrestling with his son. And he took his back, and then he just started fucking doing your thing, and it was like. And then you start to feel it because you know at a point where there's the point of no return and you've seen where his hand position was. And if your hands are on the deck here and there's a guy wrapping his legs around you and is fucking giving you the choke, then you're not going to be able to defend that. And then what happened was there was like three or four guys trying to get in the cage.
Aye.
Like, I don't think you've seen this, but there's guys like pulling me out of the road to get in the cage. Aye. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then I didn't get in the cage. Jimmy just ran in, and then I walked in, and he didn't let Brian in. So I'm like, and I was like, I can't let the coach. He's like, he's the guy who puts in all the hard work. So I let coach go in, and then like just watching this on play, and you can see the actual love in my eyes for just this moment. It's just something that it's hard to describe the feeling when you've seen what your pal's done for this like 8-10 week camp. And you've seen where he's hit his ups and his down, where there's days where you've been like, fucking. And you, and it happens. Like, you go in, there's days where you feel you're great, and you're great. And there's days you feel you're great, and you're pish. And it's the vice versa. There's days you go in, and it's pish. And so to see him, and it's just a nice feeling to like experience this with your teammate.
I think it was the exact same in London.
It's nice,
when I walked with the cage and jumped on him. Like, you could, That's what it means to us.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's quite cool that you have both got that sort of shared experience with each other. And it's both coming off like your win and your win. So obviously, I was kind of, what I was like, thinking to myself when Chris got the finish, I thought I won him if Paul jumped.
It's a good hang on ever because the wee guy after it.
He gave him a flag, there was a good person to me jumping on the cage for him.
Aye, and then, like, so, does this happen? My mum and dad are like, good time.
Aye.
And I was like, aye, so she just messaged me, and then she sends me these things about hair transplants. And I was like,
because you're leaning on the cage.
Oh,
what the fuck? And then I then watch it back, and my mum says to me, she says, did you see it? And I was like,
was it where you're leaning
there? I'm leaning there, and the camera just zooms right in my ball spot. I was like, oh, shit. So, but you know what? I'm going to embrace it. But coach was getting torn on about my haircut yesterday. He was like, you might as well just shave that hang off. It's a bad day when he's fucking
ripping
my hair.
It's not like you've not had the bald look before.
I know what I thought.
You did look a bit more menacing when you're bald.
Bigger. Didn't I tell you to call me bigger?
Bigger.
That's Brian.
Aye. So he was slagging my hair, and it's a bad day.
That's just two things got to happen with hair, like I've noticed. You either go grey, you go bald.
I know one I'd rather have. You made that sound like it was the same. They are not equal.
No, it's not the same. It's definitely not the same. And I'm only saying that because I'm going grey.
You've got a wee tint there,
mate. Dip that head and let's see that.
I'm grey, but I've got a nice
silver. You're fine, mate. You've got a fucking mane of hair, man.
It's just that you either seem to go. The only good thing about when you're going grey is you can actually dye it. So it's the bald bit's a bit of a.
You're dying shit, man.
Flip a wee bit of the conversation here. What about Keith Flint passing, you know what I mean?
Prodigy. Aye, talking about bald with hair dying.
He's Prodigy fans first.
I'm not a massive fan, but I do like Prodigy.
Amazing live.
They were music I grew up with, especially at the Gala Day and that, when the waltzers, fire starter and that. That's where I think I first heard them.
Intentionally fingering a bird behind the waltzers.
Candy floss.
I'm trying to think how you bring this back onto the sad part of your party. But no, look, in all seriousness, it's just
suicide, wasn't it?
It was suicide.
It's something that seems to be prevalent. It just
males, aye. Do you think it's that?
Was it like, males?
No, in males.
In males, oh sorry.
Do you think it's that thing where it's like, you know, when you've been this superstar, and I know he's got a chemical imbalance. Like, he's obviously been touring, and he was meant to do a tour that next year. Mm-hmm. Is it one of these things where you're constantly in the limelight, doing your tour, and then when you've got nothing, you kind of like...
I think in that position...
And
when
then your chemical imbalance, and you think like, fuck.
You must, when you're in that sort of position, see when you're in that sort of, say, superstar position, which he was, because obviously they were big in America, I think you must get to a point where you don't actually know, you might get to a point where you don't know who's your actual close true pals and who's people that's coming along for the ride and mm-hmm. for the money and all that sort of stuff.
It happens in every game. Like, there's people who are near pals, one of your pals before you get signed, and then they're fucking, they latch on to you and they just want to...
Or the females.
Doesn't it happen in the Coughlin game?
When they give you a look, and all of a sudden you're winning national telly, they're giving you a shout.
Aye, spitting the leg off them.
Aye, actually.
No chance.
But I know it's one of the things. It just seems to be commonplace now, which is, I guess, something obviously we're going to bring up a lot more in future episodes. Things like Chrissy's house and all that coming into play. I saw a post.
The post was pretty good, man. Is it Liam? Brilliant.
I'll let you speak. So this is kind of links in with this. Tell us a wee bit about that post that Liam put up.
Basically, it was just somebody reached out to Liam and says, basically, they helped what we were sharing about raising awareness for suicide, helped him through a dark time in their life, and now they're constantly going to Chrissy's house and basically knows what to say about seeing a better future for themselves and that. So they basically thanked Liam and that. And Liam wasn't got to share it, but then the person covered it with the person, they were all right with it. So
I think it's a good time to share it because it's...
That's why we do it.
Aye.
Even if one person, job done. That means for me anyway.
This is a good side of social media. This there's obviously a shit and bad side, but stuff like that. You hope somebody maybe sees that in that position and goes, you know what? Maybe there is. Because sometimes the best thing to do, and I know from personal experience, sometimes you don't want to talk to people that you're close to. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the best thing to do is talk to somebody that's.
I've sat up a few nights and answered some mails, mm-hmm. like some Instagram mails, and just firing away, and they say it helped them, and so I'm happy to always do that if I've got time.
I like that.
It's time, man. It's the time you need to invest.
So Chrissy's house is brilliant, though. They're the only one in Britain that's open 24/7. You can chat to their door, phone them up, and that's they're brilliant. Always there. So they're doing massive things now, so long may it continue.
Aye, absolutely. It's something that's, I think it's necessary, especially it seems to be, I don't know, just in the last couple of years, it's obviously when it's just an average person in the street, doesn't get much.
How many people have you known that have committed suicide?
Oh, in last year there was about six people I know in my group. A lot of fathers have done it and family members or friends, so it's rife. It's rife in Lanarkshire, especially.
Two family members of mine. And I've known people that maybe necessarily weren't the friends with people I've known, but I've had two family members it's unfortunately happened to me. But so it's kind of prevalent with everybody. I think it seems to have an effect on everybody, maybe not directly, but you can maybe follow one or two steps away and it's something somebody's familiar with.
I guess drugs is the main reason. A lot of people get over their head in drugs, or they take that much, they get depressed. And I think that's one of the main factors.
Is it the fact that it's so easy to get access to them now? And yeah, it's just take whatever the fuck you want.
Everybody takes them.
You look at the amount of people that go to the weekend and can find a couple hundred pound to fire up their nose and just booze, but you ask them to do something else, something like, no, I can't fucking do that.
It's priorities, and sometimes you just need a bit of, sometimes experiences change the way you go, especially with drugs and stuff like that, as you get older, maybe kids and stuff like that. Hopefully change, but it's one of the things that seems to be prevalent.
And like kids nowadays, man, like when we were growing up, we were fucking sent out to play. New kids don't go out and play. Like I've got two nephews and they don't go out because they would rather sit in their computer. And that's understandable. For me as a parent, I would rather, like, in some aspects I'd rather were in the house and they were safe because it's a different world.
The kids these days, like where I'm from, Hollytown, like, are killing themselves now. Like, all of them are killing each other, stabbing each other. So,
that's
if I had kids out there, I wouldn't want them to go.
Exactly.
I'd want them to play.
But then it's a fucking, that's a fucking sad, it's a sad state of affairs. But I think the biggest problems my ma had, especially in the winter, was the amount of washing she had to do. Because when I get in for school, the only thing I wanted to do was go and play football. Yeah. Until the point where I got, James,
kids don't want to do that. You're forcing kids to go, to join football teams so that they're actually doing some physical activity.
It's a different world, isn't it?
Yeah.
Different world, social media and
progress,
all that.
Progress, mate, that's what it's called, progress.
Progress, and there's some good aspects to it, and there's obviously some negative aspects.
Kids must be a lot smarter than what we were growing up. Like access to anything. Gone are the days where you could bullshit something?
You can just Google, you know.
Aye, like
rip you. Rip you.
How much abuse do you get
Here's a good one.
I'll tell you what, really. So, the documentary was filmed outside my about like getting a new motor and all that, blah, 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 and there was wee veins, blah, 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 like kicking about, oh, who's this, who's cameras and that. So a few days later, I was going out, just myself and the cameras, and the wee boys there, like, you're that fighter? You're that UFC fighter or whatever? I says, aye. Like, they just peddled away at the end of the street, like, you're a fat prick.
Brilliant.
I was just like, oh.
You should give him the wee fake start.
Jump in the motor and just run them right fucking out, man.
But, that's a good look for you. UFC fighter, no way to
remember
Bellator
me when you were a wee guy? We used to fight with the Newt Hill once, and there was a big bridge going out of Hollywood down Newt Hill, and we would like chase each other to our side, then he would chase us back, wait till we're further away, and then just shout stuff. That's what I remember me, the wee guy.
See, I remember when I was younger, when I used to go to Majestics under 18s. Majestics under 18s, and it was what I hated was getting the bus down here, because you had to go through fucking Craig Nuke, and you were always worried that you might not make it through Craig Nuke. you might not get through one side of Craig Nuke to the other, but something happening in the bus. but fun times, actually. Stealing the magic cameras.
Kids don't get to do that now, man. Kids don't get to have these wee battles of area battles. You're the right side of the track, son. It's good that they don't have to do that, but now they're doing it on social media. Where they're like, have you seen this? I quite like advert where it's like, sticks and stones will break my bones. And it's what we used to say, what we were told as kids, aye, but the names will never hurt you.
Aye, up my way, that was taken literally, though. Sticks and stones break your fucking bones.
But they're saying, like, so the internet's changed that everything, so the advice should really change, and kids are getting it in all angles now. If you were getting it in school when you went home after
you're getting it
you're getting it in, and now you're playing the computer.
Just wait till tomorrow, I'm going up here now.
Right. And then the kids are just constantly getting it now, and I think that's that definitely adds to these kids where they're like, fuck
it. Where you don't get to escape of being home or, or going out to play with your pals when you get up the road and that.
Right.
It's, it's just the way it is. It's,
hey, we've went a bit dark here, boys. Like,
I was going to go really dark a minute ago, but the story, like, I'm going to say it anyway. This has got to be. Did you see on the news the guy that I think he got jailed now for it? Commissioned an acid attack on his own son.
His own 2 year old son.
Three year old son. And wow. Right, so he got somebody to
they've
all been charged. Throw acid in his son's face so he can prove the mum was a bad mother and he could get away in full audit at full time.
3 year old son.
3 year old son. It made me.
You should get away.
My son's nearly three. Well, he's doing a bit.
Have you tried to set us up?
No.
You wouldn't do that.
You should get away for that, cunt.
You should. It fucking. I was raging on the couch. I was just sitting on the couch watching it and I was raging. I just thought it was fucking disgusting.
What about what's on the TV tonight? El Jacko?
Oh, I've got it recording this new Michael Jackson documentary.
Michael Jackson. Oh, right,
touching
that.
Some Tadger.
Underage
Tadger.
Apparently,
the guy was black, then he turned white. That says it all, you know what I mean?
Here's the creepiest bit. Apparently, he had, leading up to his bedroom, he had all the stairs and all that all wired, so when people walked on it, you could hear footsteps in his room, so he knew when people were coming to the room. Now, why the fuck would you need an early warning system for your bedroom unless you're in there doing something?
Serial predator.
Aye, doing something really dodgy.
And then there was that Dark Kelly thing as well, just all these dudes, man, are just fucked in the head.
I like that. Aye.
But you know what? His mind was definitely telling him no. My mind's telling me no!
He's changed up balls, man.
Did you get that? That should be just the open fucking face for us.
That should like.
I've also got Bungie saying he likes R. Kelly.
Yeah. Guys, if there's any
put
good
the key in ignition, mate. Sick.
It's too
that.
I can imagine a fucking shit.
His music
means.
Is brilliant. I've not actually seen it. I've heard all the shit he's been doing.
Wow.
He likes
that's mental.
He likes to go for an old push on seems like everybody.
That's mental though, some of the shit.
I remember the Macklemore song where it was like, smells like R. Kelly's sheets, piss. And I couldn't walk out where it was. And then like, I done a wee bit of snooting and it turns out he likes getting pissed on.
Aye, man, there's some fucking weird people out there.
Aye.
Especially celebrities. But R. Kelly's definitely
I can understand, you know, see if you're getting it on a plate. Surely sex would become born if you're like, it'll come to a point where you're making love to one woman. I say making love, you're probably fucking them,
holy
right?
Holy fuck, we'll get Barry White in.
So you're doing it to one woman, and then you then go feel like, I can't fed up doing this.
That's what the Rolling Stones
let's
done.
Let's do two.
They shag that much, they end up just letting the guy blow them and that.
Just Rolling try Stones something then. Different, aye. Right. Like, that's what I'm saying, like, you imagine you shag one woman, and then you do two, and then you're like three, and then you just have an orgy, and you're like, fuck it, I'll just shag a guy.
Pissing
and then you're like, right, somebody's pissing on me now.
Like, did he have like wee glassy slaves and that all, didn't he, or something? Mm.
Aye, he's fucking.
His wife was a slave. Where she wasn't like allowed to like eat and shit.
Sounds like Bungie's a slave to his music.
He's a slave to.
Trapped in a closet, man. That's classic.
Oh, the fucking but the midget,
imagine. It was a closet. The midget.
That's all. All him tells you the guys.
There was a few.
Fucking hell. It turns out it's a poet. That's who was shagging
his wife. Aye. Weird, and then Michael Jackson, we'll see how weird and he is tonight.
Have you ever heard, just when you're talking about the celebrity thing, about them chagging that much women, they end up going for guys, have you heard the Bert Kreischer story about Will Smith?
Him and his wife's got an open relationship, haven't they?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they have. They have, they can fuck who they want.
That probably shows a level of confidence in their relationship.
That's no confidence, man. That's like, a bit fucked up. Will Smith's like, I'm going to a power of shagging. Is that cool? And she's like, I'm going to a power of shagging. He's like, I'm sure you are.
But it's maybe just.
She has a stud as well, and she's pretty.
Aye, Jada Pinkett. But Bert Kreischer get invited to go and watch a movie with Will Smith, and he phoned his dad to say, oh, Will Smith's invited me to come and watch a movie. And Bert Kreischer's dad's like, nah, he wants to fuck you.
Aye,
is that what? Is that?
Next thing
they get bored of pussy, it comes too easy. So he wants you, and he's going to fuck you. Because he's bored. It's obviously funny as fuck the way he tells it, but it kind of relates to what you're saying there.
Aye, 100%. You just get bored of fucking guys. And then you go into. I mean, suck a dick twice and you
we'll
get
a bad part of the exclusive.
Well, as you're saying that, I got a message from somebody saying, listen, I don't want to tell you this, but somebody's been speaking behind your back on a podcast. And I was like, Listen, I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, mate. If you could fill me in a wee bit more detail.
I think it was us, James, is it?
Ah, fuck knows. I'm thinking now I'm a bit close to him.
No, no, no. That gets weirder. So I'm thinking, like, what the fuck can this be? What's somebody said about me? And what podcast? I'm like, because there's loads of podcasts out there. So I messaged the guy back saying, listen, mate, I don't know what you're talking about, but if you could fill me in a wee bit more. A few days go by, he then messaged me back and says, listen, I don't want to be the guy to do this, but it was this US podcast, and they were talking about, so they never actually used my name. They just used a Scottish fighter in the UFC. That's all they said, and they then said, and he's like, I don't want to tell you what it was, and I was like, listen, mate, just tell me what it is. I'm not going to listen to this podcast. I don't really care that much. Said you were gay. Next to the back saying, that's it, and he's like, this would ruin your career. I'm like, no, wouldn't it? How would that ruin my career? Sucked a few dicks, man.
You're being progressive.
Did actually say you were gay in the podcast?
I don't know. But how many Scottish UFC fighters are there? It doesn't have to be me.
Did I tell
just
you I done
a flamboyant?
Did I tell you I done another podcast where I've got an American accent?
See, a Scottish guy. Aye, so the guy for us was like breaking news, like he was trying to like.
What's like, it? What's the weirdest shit you? You've obviously got.
I've
had a
guy sending me a picture of his asshole.
Really?
not just one.
They didn't image of that.
No, this was like numerous images,
like a
and then so there's like these sort of places in like your social media, like, and it's like people who aren't your friends, but they might follow you. And I just happened to be scrolling down, and I was at the pictures with Tomshi. In fact, we were watching. Jim Jefferies, and I was like, oh man, you should do some of the shit I get sent. I just happened to click on this one, and it was all these images, but you can't view them until you accept it. So I went, fuck, I'm accepting this. And it was just pictures of guys' stinkles, this wank guy. But then he got a notification saying I accepted it, and he's like, listen, I was really drunk, I'm really sorry. But it was like, if you like the pictures, but. And I was like,
obviously he's gay though.
Oh, man. So I sent a wee offer.
Definitely, I've not been sent an asshole before.
What's the weirdest thing you've had in your inbox?
I don't know. My fans bought me a brick at Celtic Park. My lassie, I don't really know. She's probably watching this right now, but.
Bought you a brick?
Aye, like, with my name on Celtic Park. Chris the Bad Guy Bungard.
That's a cool gift.
Well, listen, if you are watching, we are selling these bricks
for
you.
Can buy a brick in here.
150 quid from the centre.
But then it'll not get seen because it'll be my heater.
You'll know it's there, but you'll know it's there. That's what matters.
And what you'll not be able to see is the actual name on it, and I'll just keep that 150.
Right.
That's a good gift, man.
I know.
Have you went and seen it? Another picture thing?
Let's be honest, if you balance it out, getting a brick at your favourite team's.
Brick killed a guy.
We'll get an asshole sent. Well, I think you won that.
We all
one.
Know who's winning. This guy.
Did he at least bleach it and make it look presentable?
No, but he was bald as fuck, man. It was just. The guy actually, this wasn't just a one-off. This wasn't like, he's just went, I'm drunk and I'm going to send a picture of my asshole. This guy took a bit of care. And his nuts were shaving as well. Or I assume they were shaving, maybe they were VT'd, I don't
God,
know.
Stop,
but they
man,
were,
stop.
They were.
I like the way you backstepped there, like, I don't really know that much about it, but.
But I like the fact that the guy took a bit of self-fucking-love and was like, you know what, if I'm sending this, I'm going to make sure it's what the big man wants to see. I don't want to see that, so don't send me pictures of bum holes, please.
Is this something you're sitting and you showed?
Somebody's watching us, and even our dog's watching. Few dogs watching us.
Oh, there we go.
So shout out to Cameron Galway, even the dogs, and your dog, I know.
What's your dog called? Ask him what his dog's called.
You need to let us know what the dog's called so the dog can get a shout.
Somebody's offended by the language on this.
Who's offended by the language?
Jerry Diamond.
Who?
Jerry Diamond.
Jerry Diamond.
He's a nice role model and child friendly.
Jerry Diamond, this is not
Jerry
a
Diamond, go fuck yourself, mate.
Jerry, it's called the Bad Patter fucking podcast. Why would you expect the patter to be in
tune
other than
then,
offensive?
Man. Zone out, my man.
He's getting it tight on the comments.
Is he? Who's giving him? Give some in action.
Aye, guys, let's get the questions.
Yeah. Oh, do you ask questions as well?
They're just all saying you're still watching, Jerry. And fuck off.
Like, you're still watching,
fucking
Jerry.
Jerry Springer. Everyone wants Jerry Springer.
Gary Fawlty is what's happening.
How you doing, Gary?
What's happening, Gary, boys?
Just hanging with the boys, you know.
And Jerry just called these tossers.
So. Did he?
Well, here's
Jerry.
Who uses the word tosser?
Like that, Jerry.
Why are you doing loan the Tony the fucking chat. Jerry Diamond. Fucking
well, here's one for Gary Folds, actually. I saw online that.
I seen
that
Bill
new,
Burr.
Did you? I seen it, Gary,
at Bill Burr. He's actually playing in that venue.
I've seen that.
Right.
I did
he's
see
nearly sold out, man.
That's
pretty
good. How good
is
that for seeing Bill Burr in there?
He's so good, man. He's so good.
And then Gary's got to be get in there as well. That's awesome.
Is he hooking the boys up with some freebies?
I think so. I did say that.
Aye, Gary, that would be pretty good.
Go, Gary.
Aye, just make it happen, Gary.
Just send them this way.
That's how we just deleted that message.
Here's some free info as well. I see that this big kebab chain are opening in Glasgow, the German kebab chain or something. Like that. It might be dynamite.
You've literally just pulled
the German Donner kebab.
That's the one, see. I don't why.
And what makes it so special?
I don't know. I think it's called just a German kebab. So
Jerry, you still there, Jerry boy?
I never thought
it was your
pals. Thank you. That's
but yeah, you're still watching, you madman.
Go and see if he follows you on the old social media. We'll hound him.
You sure it's no Jerry spelled with a T?
Mervyn Rand said Jerry Diamond. You sound like a 70s porn star.
Jerry Diamond's a cool name.
Jerry Diamond. See if that was a film about a porn star. Mark Wahlberg would play you. We have mullet.
That's actually quite good. Have you seen the...
You're slagging your monster, kittens.
Mine's that pink. I deserve to be slagged. Fuck you, James. Your red, white and blue fucking chairs.
Why is he slagging the monster? Like, he doesn't have control over the monster colours.
Right, we've officially spent too much time, Jerry.
Jerry.
Thanks very much.
See, the thing is, people are now going to do this because, like, see if you go in and hurl abuse at the guys, they'll fucking say your name online. Online. On the line.
We like a bit of fun interaction. Okay, just got about another 10 followers here.
What's watching? My mom just sees.
Sorry. Charmed.
Sorry,
Charmed.
I don't know when it was, but she says your dad's asking what age you are now, but that must have been talking.
I was going to ask, can we maybe make a comment?
One time we done a podcast with Darren McConnell, and this full family were front row.
I know.
He's dying up. Up. Now end up arm wrestling, he's got a tap off.
We know. What
a fucking day that was, man.
Was that no? Was
him and Blaze?
Did Blaze no go in and
Darren the full fucking show.
He grabbed the microphone off and he's like, right, I'll introduce you. And he fucks off.
Will rock you.
And poor Dan's just standing at the side like, the fuck did that
one say?
He rounded up like the fucking mentalist cunts he said in the podcast and went, that'll make a good podcast. I'll be able to control these guys.
Sometimes with stuff like that, you just need to sit back and let it go.
Right, well, he tried to like steer it his direction, but then like a fucking signed off, he's like, fuck this, man, I'm out.
It'd be better off just sitting in the crowd of the rest of
my dad was having a good time, man. He ended up arm wrestling me.
What was it like doing the podcast live then?
It was pretty cool.
It was good. Yeah. I was fighting the week after, so I was fresh, but they were on the beers and that, and they were just, oh no, mate, I know. Aye, David,
see, he's always blazing, man.
See, that's one we need to do for this in the future. We need to have a podcast with some alcohol involved.
Aye, definitely.
It's hard.
Maybe watch some fights or something. Aye. Something of it in somebody's house.
That's
the way
to go. That's
definitely
the way to go.
Have you got any other questions or not?
There's no questions, it's just
it's
people
just,
hurling abuse.
Cameron Gallaby did this, what's
your dream fight? Obviously for Paul's a guess, man. I don't know. You know, I'd love one of the UFC legends, you know, like a guy who everybody knows. Like, and I'm no insulting him to where people like, don't know people who have fought, but you know what I'm talking about.
So like a Shogun, like, something like that?
I've wanted like a Shogun, like a Rashad Evans, like maybe a Glover Teixeira.
Middleweight now, but...
Aye, like maybe one of these guys who have like, who have been there and been about and done it. Just an experience. Like we've seen Anderson Silva fight against Adesanya.
Adesanya.
That's like, and he was like, man, this is like a dream come true.
Look as well, but you've just, Christ, I've got to forget his name. He just fought John Jones for the title. God, how can I forget his
Anthony
name?
Smith.
Anthony Smith. What's sort of the way he went through. Mm-hmm. He fought Shogun, was it Rashad?
Aye,
Rashad as well.
Was it Rashad?
He went through middleweight and just sort of, and I mean, the light heavyweight division is kind of...
What's your thoughts on Johnny Walker?
I don't think he's been funny yet, but he's hilarious.
How good are stories that? He stayed up in Aberdeen and all that. He was meant to be a mad shagger up there.
They don't bump them? They don't bump the gym or something? And they bite him or something?
Allegedly, we don't know that sort
of thing. What about him celebrating and just doing his thing? Just lying there like a big fucking quaver.
Is that my fighter's fucking... That must be the worst nightmare, that. Yeah, oh, fuck.
Who was the guy that climbed up?
Aidan Stevens to do that backflip and end up fucking breaking his neck.
Somebody's done that in the UFC, and then we were stopped for climbing up in the actual cage. I can't even remember. We were taking in during the thing, and it said, listen, because of the thing last week, somebody tried to climb up the cage and do a backflip off and fucking like done it like 3 or 4 times and injured themselves doing it. Fucked it for us all. Not that I ever climbed up the cage. I don't think I've ever been up the cage in the UFC.
That guy's playing Badman Rising. How dare he?
Oh, that's
Maybe he's just waiting for you to kick the door in.
I wonder if it's intentional. I don't know if you'll be able to hear it on the podcast, but there is. We're in a studio and there's bands.
So what would you like then? Shogun in the Hydro?
Aye,
that'd be pretty sweet.
That was like one of the greatest experiences of my life. Obviously, I get knocked out, but like she just walked.
That
out,
was one of my favourite experiences.
Like, walking out in walking Glasgow around and just hearing the noise, and then looking at Bruce Buffer, like, and no hearing what he's saying.
Aye.
Because the noise was just fucking incredible, man. Like, for all the bad it was tremendous, man.
I watched
the video back and you're like, oh, hey, like, you're in fucking WWE, went up the crowd, I can't hear you.
I was jacked for
that. I look back and I'm like, I'm fucking in the zone and you're up there like, hey, you fucking loving life.
Because the nation was behind us. No,
you've like, got to take a moment. That's one of the things, when you look back, see, we just gave you moments. Take
him
in.
Yeah, I'll remember that for the rest of my life, man. That's just something.
Wasn't it better than 4.59?
No, if I keep getting points.
Wasn't it better than 4.59?
Nah, 4.59 is pretty cool. We were at that show down in Wales, and the guy, last minute submission guy. I'm like, I said to Brian, I was like,
is that your new nickname?
Nah, I'm going to be the last minute submission guy. And I had to correct him and be like, no, that's all I was saying, mate.
It's one of the things, but what's the chances of doing that in your, throughout your career and such a high, obviously at the highest level, is so slim that when it does happen, it's going to be one of the things people remember.
Just won last week again, that ankle. He's on a tear. He's a beast.
The other thing, the other difficulty.
Is he unbeaten, but?
Took a zero, mate.
No, that's it, it's gone. But it's a tricky thing when you've got guys coming in who are unbeaten, because you've no idea if they're potentially a next UFC champion or
where. I remember like being backstage with Brian and just listening to his rap sheet, like, you know, the commentators.
And like, some of them are walking under the bleachers.
Aye. And you could like, this guy stands at fucking 6 feet 4 inches tall. He's done this. He's a combat Sambo. And I'm thinking like, the fuck? Like, you never tell me this, Brian. And Brian's like, just face forward, mate, you're fine.
Are you worried?
Like, what the fuck?
And here he's fighting a Scottish guy.
He was decorated, man.
Aye. And then it's like, and he's fighting Paul. And I just went, why can't we be friends?
It goes to show, but sometimes you see all that shit. That doesn't matter. That's what
fuck him. He got beat, man.
Aye, it's what makes the art win a wee bit sweeter. And then Chuck is going to get his buzz chuckered.
How much does that, she get one of the bonuses? How big an impact does that have
it
on
just,
you?
It just makes life a wee bit easier, because let's be honest, we don't get like people obviously believe you get paid like fucking thousands, man, but we don't. We basically get enough to cover us from camp to camp to camp. Aye. And if you get time off, then you're not. So that just makes it a wee bit nicer, and you can do stuff with the kids and you can have the niceties. So that's what it makes that
bit of comfort, isn't it? Bit of comfort.
The problem as well is a lot of people here, obviously they compare a lot of sports to like football and that. And at the highest level in football, the highest level. If you look at like Division One in England, they're making really good money. And then you look at like the top promotions of MMA in the world, and it's just not the same.
No.
Yeah. It's a totally different game.
But then see me think about it. What would you do for me, kicking dick? Would be something in man's dick. Waking up Monday to Friday and doing a shitty job. So, do we do it for money? Nah, it makes it a wee bit easier. But we do it for something else. There's something inside us.
It's a different life, isn't it?
Addictive.
Aye, like you're always chasing this thing, and it's hard because you dedicate so much time and effort and everything into this.
Jerry boy, hope you're still watching. He's my pink guy.
Is that one of the benefits then, or one of the things that's good about it? You're doing something that you want to do. It's not a job that you need to do to pay the bills. It's a job that you want to do, and it gives you a type of life that you want to live with. You're not tied on with a company, or well, technically you're supposed to be the UFC, but you can do your own thing in that as well. It gives you freedom, I suppose.
You know, if I wake up on Monday and I don't want to go to training, I don't need to go to training.
No.
I mean, there's obviously consequences to not going to training, like where it may not affect you there and then, but it will affect you later on down the line. But like, there's days I don't need to go to training. I do it because I enjoy it. I do it because it's the thrill. You're chasing something. You're chasing something you want to be.
That's it. I suppose that's kind of the dream for a lot of folk, isn't it? Just to do what makes you happy. Mm-hmm. To go up and do what you want
and
to
it's,
do.
It's hard. Like, you tell people to go, you need to live your dreams and fucking do all this. You know, all these sort of people are going to live your dreams, but we are actually doing it, man.
I know.
We wake up on Monday, we wake up on Sunday, and it's the same day, man.
And if you can do that well, supporting your family and that as well.
Aye.
That's the main thing, isn't it?
Memories, mate, that's all I want. All I want is memories.
It's unfortunate.
Memories in a smart car, that's all I want.
Memories in a...
That's all I want, mate.
Any other questions?
Gary Fulton's asking when's next fight season, obviously, no. Been watching for the start.
Tell Gary when your next fight is, Paul.
Gary, it's 30th of March in Philadelphia. You fancy coming?
Philadelphia, we've got to run
you'll
up the, those rocky steps.
You'll have got good kebabs, Gary.
Philly steaks as well. So, when you go to Philly, what's your sort of scheduling for you in terms of when you're getting there and when you actually travel back home after the fight? Will you just get a wee bit of time just to take in the city, or is it?
We'll have a few days. I don't imagine all loads of media obligations. I mean, I'll have to do like some the pictures. I'll have to do like a couple of interviews, all this sort of stuff, but nothing massive. So we'll just go and see the town. Mm-hmm. Paul Felder dropped me a message, so we'll catch up with Paul Felder and he can show us.
People do forget though, like when we travel to fight, we're there to work.
Aye.
Isn't it a holiday? Or sometimes we do a wee bit of sightseeing here and there, but just usually in a hotel.
One of the coolest things I did was we've done it twice in Sacramento. We hired a car and drove from Sacramento to San Francisco. Tremendous, man. We hired a Dodge Charger. Honestly, you want to see Brian's blind. Like,
Only is he terrible at taking pictures, but he's the worst driver ever as well.
I think he might even be registered blind. Like, he's pish at seeing. And he ended up getting like a Land Rover because for safety, like safety for himself, in case he crashes into him.
In case somebody crashes into him.
And he's terrible. And honestly, man, he can flying through, like, you know, the wee kiosks where you may pay money. Yeah. He fucking flew through one of them at 70 mile an hour and missed the barrier, like the side, and nearly hit it. And I'm like, and I was like, Brian, you're pulling in, mate. You're done. You are fucking done. And then he asked when we were in Vegas, we hired a Mustang and we drove to the Hoover Dam, the same again. He's like, can I have a shot? Like, no, mate. you wasted it for yourself. That's like, there's some cool wee stories where you're just driving down these highways and it's like a movie. Right. And you're just looking about and there's mountains and there's fucking Alcatraz there. And it's cool, man. That's like some cool stuff. And you're doing that as a holiday.
Yeah, man.
What kind of stuff are you looking forward to seeing?
Well, I'm flying into Seattle, and that's where Bruce Lee's grave is. Right. And I see Jimi Hendrix or something. So,
going to see somebody's grave. How sad is that?
But Bruce Lee's a hero, not me.
He's the fucking salsa champion.
We've got to drive down to Portland and stay in Portland a few days, get some training at Gracie Baja, Portland. Chicks on his gym. Okay. And then we've got to drive over to a wee town on the coast where they filmed the Goonies.
Oh, cool.
So the actual beach and the Goonies house and all that.
Have you hired a car? Are you going to wait?
What you got?
Come on.
It's a Nissan Cherry.
It's a smart car.
No, it's a Nissan. I'm sure it's a Nissan, but it's not a big sporty thing.
Just fire into drive, man. Yeah. Just.
I won't be driving. I'll have the feet up. Nah, but then we leave the car and fly to 2.5 weeks. I went into my mate's mum, who's the travel agent.
Mm-hmm.
And she done like Croatia and Thailand and that for us. As soon as we walk in, she's like, oh fuck. And it's like, well, I'll be here for this day and here for that week and all this traveling, but she done it perfect again. So
it's one of the things, it's they say you should travel broadens the mind, apparently. So
I'm choking to go to America, it's like my dream. So Paul will be my first ever time.
And then I'm assuming down the line the plan is that you should be going back to America, but you'll be in the corner and you'll be in the cage.
We need to go to the PI Centre as well. That place is incredible, man.
Is that the best sort of facility you've ever been in?
Aye, they just have everything, man. Like, you can go and get.
That's in Nevada, isn't it?
No,
Las Vegas. Like, you can go and get like all your nutrition. Like, they'll make you up in.
The PI, for people who don't understand, is the UFC Performance Institute.
Right, that's correct. And it's available to all the fighters in the UFC roster. You can run camps out there, like, so you can take your whole team over and run it in there. That's what McGregor does, doesn't he? He spends a fair bit of time if he's fighting in there. Darren Till done it as well.
Ngannou does it all as well, doesn't he?
We see the people in there.
He's a fucking unit, man.
Would you fancy going to heavyweight for a wee scrap with Ngannou?
No, we met him.
And
the gross sucked his dick.
That's
what's
why
there, Freddy?
So one of the things is, when you go to these places and you see like fighters, I'm not going to let you. I try and catch a look at their dick to see if I'm feeling confident. I'm like, yeah.
Jerry's got to be raging again.
Right, sorry, Jerry. So here's the list of dicks I've seen so far. So I've seen Ngannou's. whopper. Like, I grabbed that towel and hid mine. I've seen poster boy Jimmy Manoa's, I've seen Gustafsson's, I've seen Razor Mudadi's, fucking hell.
Have you ever seen Hall Pass when he falls asleep in the jacuzzi and the
dick
it looks in the corner.
So I've seen some dick. I'm not doing in for my fucking rep, you know.
No, sucking dicks and looking at dicks, it's not looking good.
I'm not gonna lie to you.
Being exposed as gay in another podcast.
Dick joke.
So it turns out that American podcast was actually right.
Well, basically, Cain Velasquez didn't get hot with a punch. He fell not and
do you know what?
And his dick and just fell.
We've not even mentioned it yet. Let's talk a wee bit about it. I know you're no massive on watching fights, so I don't know what you've seen at the weekend.
I've seen all the slow-mo stuff.
Right, so
did you see that? I've seen the slow-mo punches.
The first time we've got to talk Askren.
Robbie Lawler got screwed.
Right.
And I like Ben Askren. Aye. But Herb fucked that one.
But you might not have thought.
No,
how,
I know you thought.
I know we spoke about it, but.
Did you not see that one?
I did. I sent you, and he was like, I sent you. Herb Dean's like, man, I thought. And
Robbie's
he's
a good
Robert,
cunt.
Robbie's like, aye, Hams, man.
The problem was, is.
I would not.
After,
that would not be me.
After
man.
Watching it, though, the first time I watched it, I thought, no, he's not.
That's the same.
It's on his jaw, though. He's not got to be it. It's got to be pain.
But can you not put. You can still put somebody out for there.
Go and put him in.
Did you not see him? He does that. And then there's
no, that's the thing. I never seen that initially.
Have you seen it though?
I've seen the replay and I'm like, ah,
oh,
fuck. Aye. And I think that's the same thing that happened with. It's just one of the things that was a fuck up.
He was getting his ass whooped.
He's taking more punches that fight than he had his full time at one
what I would say, though,
I was just watching this like, welcome to the fucking UFC.
What I would say is, he can take a crack.
He got angle slammed.
He did. Aye. Got angle slammed on his head.
Aye, you can take
it. What's,
take
is it, what's Brock Lesnar's?
F5.
Yeah,
it was
merely.
It was like the one you done to me in the fucking
Staramania.
Just on.
Oh, no.
ICW. When I fucking. Low blow them.
But Robbie was. Right. I mean, at first he's like, what the fuck? And then he's like, you know,
he's long in the tooth, man. He's been there and he knows everything.
One thing I would say is that's the best Robbie Lawler I've seen in a while. He looked fucking ferocious.
And I love Ben Askren. I was wanting him to win, but see when Robbie was fucking up, I was cheering for him. Like, let's go, man.
He's a good guy, man.
Hellmend, the next one that goes in there with Robbie Lawler. Because I think Askren.
He'll run that back.
I don't think so.
I think Ask.
Talking about.
Well, Askren's in London, they know.
He's
done in London, so he's after.
Right, so they're going to do that. They're going to try and sell that shit, and they're going to have him coming into the cage and fucking remember like Brock Lesnar. What the fuck is that?
Till end up hitting him. If Till wins, I don't think Till wins. I think Masvidal wins.
Fucking like your old kid.
It's good. I see Till's been up in the old Inverness. I don't know if he was training. I think he just bumped into Ross.
Ross was down there training.
I think he was up to.
Idiot.
Why did he fight?
His last three fights, he's just overcommitting, and then it's cost him.
They were going punch for punch, and Garbrandt's obviously faster, better move.
He's been knocked out his last three fights, hasn't he?
Aye. Is MD commenting in my MMA knowledge, saying that Paul knows his shit? Aye, weak chin, you know.
Aye, it was just. What's that? No, it was. I don't know why he done that. Garbrandt just seemed to give him a good opportunity to win, and he lost the fight.
Happens when you get excited and you just want to lay people out.
Has there been a specific time when you've been in there and you've just went off script with something that you hadn't planned today? And then you've maybe thought, oh shit, man, this is not what I should.
You kind of, you're always off script.
Aye.
If it's very hard to follow a plan because even a good plan changes when the fucking enemy. You listen to this? When the enemy fucking attacks. When they do something, it changes everything. You try and grab somebody, you maybe think you're going to be a better grappler than them, and they just turn out to be fucking savage.
That's a hard question I've got,
let's talk about UFC, because my fucking immunology is Usman.
We're focusing on you, we're focusing on. Yeah. What's the biggest shock you've had in there with somebody, where it be the strength or just somebody there, you went, oh fuck, I've never felt that before?
I'm trying to think.
Oh, and I spin him back, kicked him. Oh, you're not talking about me?
I'm trying to think. That was that spinning back kick caught me square in the fucking. It was like, aye man, if it's up a wee bit, I would take my jaw off and I'd been going to the hospital. I'm trying to think. Do you know who, like, and I've said this a few times, like, anytime I speak with this guy, I say this, and sparring with Ilia Latifi, fucking hell, man. I had never experienced strength like this in my life. He's just incredibly strong.
Unit, man.
He's like a ball of energy, and he'll tell you, he counts to like four, and he's going to get up, he's like, I'm going to get up. Whack. So he just goes, poof, and he just fucking explodes, and you're like holding nothing, and he's like over there. You know, like, fucking hell. He's super strong, but everybody else is, seems like everybody else I've fought has been human.
Aye.
There's nobody I've came up against who have been like, fucking hell, man. There's like, there's levels to the UFC, mm-hmm. but there's nobody who's been like high up there. Ankalaev, he was strong where he could just pick me up. Like, mm-hmm. I had my legs kind of sprawled, and he just went like, nah, get, come here, son, and just lay me down. Nah, there's nobody who's who have been like, fucking hell, you're an absolute stud.
I've never really felt overwhelmed.
Aye, apart from Ilir, just has incredible power.
What about Big Phil, the Freeze?
Oh, fucking hell, man, see if he puts you in your bag, you're working like fuck to get up, because he's so hard, man.
Aye. He's a fight coming up soon, isn't he?
Very technical.
Nah, he's fighting the light heavyweight champion.
He's a guy that went into the UFC, he was in pretty early.
Did he not beat, what's his name? Who was the guy who used to be the heavyweight champion?
Christ, there's been a few, haven't there?
Who DC beat with overhand?
Stipe.
Stipe? Did he fight Stipe? Did he
no,
beat
no, Stipe lost.
Did he beat him?
No, I never beat him. Stipe lost to Struve. Stipe lost to Stefan Struve, and I believe he lost to Junior De Santos, if memory serves me, then DC. So he
never actually lost him. But he's fought some names.
He's killing it in KSW now, obviously world heavyweight champ. Mm-hmm. Now he's fighting the light heavyweight champ.
I think they're just like trying to dethrone him, man, because he's not their typical champ. What they're looking for that Polish fucking muscle head.
He's a gentleman.
He's fucking, what about his cat t-shirts? I've never seen a guy that's got he's got loads of cat t-shirts.
And cat t-shirts?
Like, they're fucking tremendous. You might see them. He was out in he's been out in AKA, and he was at like a fun fair, and there he was, cat t-shirt and full regalia, and I was like, fucking yes.
Is it no top team, is it?
Yeah, was it AK? American, I thought it was AK. I don't know,
it was there. Did you ever see the video of him and Paul eating the cake?
Was that in the live Dunks?
Oh, it was fucking hilarious.
Right, so tell us, how did that come about?
Remember he was up? He was up doing like press. talking
about Star Jobs. So I started this sort of like online, it was called Bareback Battles. Bareback? Bare Jew Battles. And it's just basically me, Bareback Battles.
That was good. His podcast?
By the way, there's so many gay
the Bareback podcast?
So, we'll go away for the gay. So what happened was, he was up and we said, fancy eating some cake? You're only 3 weeks out for your fight, mate. I swear to God, man, I was sick as a pig for about 2 days after it, because I've never ate that much shit in all my life. And I was like, no, I'm going to beat him no matter what. And it came down to like point of a gram. And it was just, trying to stomach this stuff. And what I did was I started eating the hard icing first.
Right.
And the hard icing was just fucking with me. It was like... I was chewing it, and then I was taking the cake and having to moisten the cake up to make it slide down, man. But Big Phil, he just takes a handful of the cake and puts it in his milkshake. So we'll eat this half a quarter of a cake, and Big Phil with a milkshake, and he just takes a sponge and Mark's mixing up. So I'm saying it, but I'm watching.
Oh, no. He's like, oh, no.
But he's what a guy he is, man. He's just a great guy. One of the things about MMA, and I say this to everybody, is the people you meet. Mm-hmm. There's very, very few wanks in this sport. Aye. And you meet people at the high level, and everybody are like, he's a cracking guy, but he's one of the best I've met.
Aye, and he's up and doing a lot, isn't he?
Yes, man. I'm going down, I was meant to be going down Tuesday, but I fucking need to go and sort my visa, and he's potentially coming up on Thursday, because he's fighting pretty soon as well. If he'd God beer up as well, same again, just a gent. He's a cracking guy, so he's helped me out massively in this camp. He actually just sparred me southpaw as well. Just a great guy to have in your corner.
It's good that you've got guys like this, especially a guy like Phil coming up. He's got to give you something that, you know what I mean?
100%.
Just that size and mass.
See if Ninchoku can do what I'm trying to say is, he's no better than any of these guys at what they do. He's mm-hmm. no better striker than Godbeer. He's no better grappler than Phil De Vries, and he's no better wrestler than the two of them. If I'm able to fucking go with these guys and get into dominant positions and feel confident against them,
aye.
Then like if Big Choku can do half of what they can do, then he deserves to beat me. But he doesn't. These guys are absolute studs, and they don't get the recognition they deserve.
Leading up to this one as well, do you feel there's a pressure going up into it again? Are you kind of just comfortable with the situation?
No, I quite like the pressure. Mm-hmm. I quite like feeling that this is everything's your last time you can do this. No, like, this can be my last fight in the UFC. I fucked up my last fight. So getting into two losses, that gives you that wee bit of spur, you know. Your back's against the wall, you need to perform. So I like that. I work well under pressure. I think it's part of human's DNA where we actually do work under pressure. Seeing the shit's about to hit the fan, that's when we produce fucking greatness.
Aye.
Let's look at fucking like the moon landing, for example. The only reason we made it to the moon was because another company was trying to get there before us. This guy's trying to get to the moon. I'm fucking going to get to the moon before him. And then people, and it spurs us on when there's something hard to work for. Because if nobody was going to the moon, they'd be like, fuck it, what do I want to go to the moon for?
I guess it's one of these situations. It's where pressure makes diamonds, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And you've been in the situation before.
Many times.
So it's just a case of...
What's the chat? You've got a big smile on your face.
Jerry diamonds.
It's Jerry... pressure makes Jerry diamonds.
Oh, somebody said Jerry diamonds, I saw a Brazier fan. Exactly when you said pressure makes diamonds.
All right.
Just I seen that smile on your face like... Shit's just happened. Ask me someday.
So no, it's just, I guess it's a situation you've sort of been in before.
Like, underdog your last fight. Everybody's written you off, didn't they? And it feels fucking good, man. And you're like, that kind of stuff makes people. I find it harder when people are like, oh, he's a man, and everybody sings your praise. As I was saying earlier, when you're constantly telling the young fighters or the up and coming amateurs that like they're the fucking best, they're the best. There's a bit of pressure. And sometimes that's not good.
Everybody responds differently, I suppose.
Fucked it.
You're kind of that way as well. So I know we harp on about the undefeated thing. You keep getting them, but it seems to be a pattern. You kind of want to get the win and then start looking at potentially fighting one of the legend guys or somebody like that.
I'm going to be in the top 10 by the end of the year.
Aye.
That's my goal. My goal is to be, for the end of this year, be in the top 10 and kicking dick with the guys. I watch the odd UFC. Like, I'm not going to lie and say I've never watched UFC. I do watch the odd show. Like, I have seen highlights for the weekend show. But when I watch the guys who are fighting, I'm thinking, like, they're nothing special. He's making mistakes here. And when you're watching, you probably do this as well, where you're seeing where they make mistakes, and you're like, I'd have fucking absolutely annihilated you if you'd done that to me. Or see, if you'd have gave me that, I'd have fucked you up. Mm-hmm. And you watch fights, and there's going to be people that are going to be like, you did shit. But that's how, when you watch this kind of stuff, you think about this, and that's what constantly runs through your head.
That's when I watched the McKee fight in Brazier. McKee had his back, and I was like, I'd finish that position, and what happened.
And then you did, and you chokeslammed him, or rock bombed him.
Especially when you trained in Sweden for a bit, you were in with Latife, mm-hmm. Gustafsson and Jimmy Manoa, who are like three of the top five at that point. Mm-hmm. So if you're mixing in with them, you know how good your level is as well. So
that was a bit of a boost. Like, see, because you always doubt yourself because you're from Scotland. We are a small nation, and we don't know how. We're very, very critical about ourselves. And we're also like, fuck, man, we're not the best. We're shite at football, shite at rugby, shite at everything.
Oh, the Rangers are shite at football.
I'm fucking saying nothing.
Look at your chairs.
But let's take a wee look at what's happening now. Chris Marshall
won
in Bellator.
Well, if they're champions in boxing,
right,
like Ricky Burns.
Right, Scott Malone, mm-hmm. title shot. Mm-hmm. Ross Houston, Cage Warriors champion. Aidan Stephen, killing it at Cage Warriors. Chris Duncan. Great debut in Bellator. That's for a wee tiny country, and you kind of see it across different promotions. Guys just start to break through, and there's a fucking really good crop of guys coming behind them as well. Yep. If you look at the amateurs.
Do you know what I think that's to do with? I think that's to do with the fact that the gyms in Scotland for a long time, you were one gym, and nobody was breaking that mould. And now there's loads of gyms have appeared up. And the one gym was, you were either Grip House or Higher Level. If you were in the name, you were in the shit. Mm-hmm. And people were still jumping camps. Like, you get to a point, you're like, oh, I need this, and you would jump here. But I think now you've got gyms like the Scottish Hit Squad, you've got the Higher Level, you've got, like, Neil's opened up a gym down in Kilmarnock, and you've got people like Headhunters. All these gyms are opening up, and they're producing, like, the guys up in Aberdeen.
They're
fucking absolute savages, man. Just farmer strength, fucking big shovel mitts. Fucking picking up sheep with their fur and just moving them about. Fucking have some of that.
It's good to see that up north, because you've got like SBG Murray, HMAC now, which is Ross Houston's, then you've got the Dundee team.
I think it's tremendous what's happening within Scottish MMA. And if everybody's in the same camp, if everybody's in the same camp, then nobody's fighting each other. But if everybody's jot all of the, it adds that wee bit of competition. Whose gym's doing the best and who's fighting who, and this guy should beat this guy, but what's happening in the actual fight? And I think that's great for MMA, MMA in Scotland, because ultimately, the more shows that are getting put on and the more competition there is, rather than seeing a guy, two guys who are pish fighting each other, or a guy who's really good fighting a guy who's pretty amateur.
It does nothing for you.
I think it's good when you're an amateur, fight against each other. But see, I think when you get to pro level, I think a lot of people come down to help each other prepare and spar, because you're obviously got to be fighting somebody for other countries or Europe.
Travels.
Like we Chris Duncan comes down to us, we've had Houston, we've had James, like Mark and...
Martin Keir
before we went to the higher level. Like, and I think that's great for people to see what the level is out there and see, maybe they came down and they like how things were ran at your gym, and that's maybe why they've went there. But it's good to see how other coaches run and how, and Stevie Houston. So it's good to see how mental he is when he's talking. Like you see, like this fucking, there's a spark in his eyes where if shit goes down, he's the guy you want in your corner. If people are getting fucking head kicked on a Saturday night, he's the guy you want to be with. And you've got guys,
the guy
who's doing it,
doing the head kicks.
And you've got like, we've got like a wrestling coach who was like, we had Dave McDonald, but now we've got Finlay, and it's just good to get different angles of how these people train and how these people are like, well, this works for me. And then you can ask these questions like, how does it work for you? Why does it work for you? And it's just a good dynamic. And then when you talk to guys like when I speak to Godbeard, he's maybe picking up and he's like, Paul, see, when you're doing this, maybe stop doing that. And it's the same. It's just we try and help each other out.
Take a deal.
I thought a guy on a show down south, it was like Fight Star, I'm sure it was, and we never seen
what?
Had fucking nailed hip.
Man, fuck's sake,
right?
You get eight.
You had a Greek name or something, didn't
it? Right. So,
Scaramanga.
It was Scaramanga. Scaramanga's with the fuck. It's no Scaramanga. So I was meant to fight this guy James, and he ended up pulling out with like a stomach infection or some shit. I can't remember what he pulled out for. And we hadn't seen the guy, and they're like, "We've got your guy. It's two guys. There's one of them coming. One of them was Sean Lomas, who we know."
And like, yeah, salty record. Right.
And there was this other guy, and
see, it was down in Coventry.
And I go into the cage, and I'm just waiting, and I see this guy coming. He's walking like that, yeah. And I'm like,
Latifi, heavyweight Latifi, roided up. That's what I think.
And I remember looking at him, fuck. And he was super intentional at me. He's looking at me, and he just ran at me. Whoa! And he just fucking bull rushed me against the cage. And I'm sure he pulled me down and had me in like
just holding on.
And he was like punching the top of my head, and I had this big fucking egg in my head. And I managed to slip out the back and put in a dash. And I remember just squeezing. I was like, this guy's actually fucking hurt me. And I was annoyed at the point that the fact that I was fighting a guy who was massively in my weight, his back was like fucking a dotted up, obviously jagging his ass with steroids, and I was just squeezing it. And it was, who's our favourite referee?
Neil Hall?
Neil? No. Is it Neil? No, grey hair.
Oh.
It's no Neil Hall. It's,
I can't remember. I don't know.
Do you know what I'm talking about? And I'm filing this in, and he's fucking tapping me to pull him off, and I was like, fucking, I wanted to pass him out, but I couldn't because I'm a pussy. So I stood up.
Did no shout something like, do this, and you're like, no, do this or something.
No, that was Braga. Yeah.
Oh,
so I'll tell you that in a second. So I stood up, and then after it, Brian goes up to the guy who organised the show, and he's like, what the fuck? That guy never made weight. And he's like, your guy was never losing anyway, was he? Like, no, the fucking point. Yeah. And a big fucking unicorn brow here.
It's not that, it's a potential fucking dodgy injury. No,
it was about fucking midnight you were fighting.
I remember the guy brushing up.
Man.
There was a name you mentioned there that I'm familiar with.
Beat Neil. Neil Laird at SFC.
We were in a...
Neil was first went up to like 84 or something.
Oh man, his weight fluctuates massively, man, and then just like 77. So... And I didn't know who he was. Brian knew who he was. And he's like, can I borrow some of your tape? Aye, when you go.
A punchy, let's be honest. But he fights.
He's got jailed for rape.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Raiden, no?
Aye. He had two names. I fought him under the name of Brad Conway. And then Neil fought him under the name of Brad Raiden. And I was like...
Neil fought him when I fought Fletcher. Right. But last week he was in the papers, so like, for Raiden.
Fuck me, we have covered a wide variety tonight.
The theme is Paul likes dick and a-hole, and there's a lot of rape happening in the world.
Aye, I think in summary, that probably is a bit accurate. I think just the main takeaway for
them is... Just watch the last 5 minutes and I'll be there undone.
Paul's gay, that's, I think. Mm-hmm. That's basically it.
Comment?
Fucking hell, man.
Will we look to see if there's any comments? If there's not, we will...
We'll same text. What time is it? Because this was actually, I'm normally in my bed for 10 o'clock.
Yes, he's a snorer.
Fucking right.
He's snoring for half nine.
So we've got obviously, this is one for earlier, Sharon Craig, the Craigs are quality.
Up the Craigs, come on!
A few folk putting pressure makes Jerry Diamonds, see that coming in now. And Gary Folds is asking, Aaron from Geordie Shore, is he coming back on the show?
Aaron from Geordie Shore.
It's Aaron from Geordie Shore.
He's not coming on this fucking show, that's for sure. Yeah, actually, this is what I forgot to say. I forgot to tell you last week about my run in with Aaron.
He seemed alright.
So, we're waiting to do media backstage after the fights. And he'd done his media. So, right away, I respected that as well because he just lost in front of his own.
He still had to do all the
and
shit.
And he'd done all that. So, a lot of people like. A certain Mr. Baze, I would just scurry away and not even talk to the
opponent. Between his legs.
So then I was at, so Brian, I think Brian's like, go and shake his horn or whatever. And I was like, nah, fuck him and blah, blah. And I kind of seen him, he looked out at me, so I walked to her and I shook his horn. I think the camera's not good at it. And I says, now you know what it's like to be a real fighter. You've just lost and this is where like the journey begins. So see, and all he said was like, oh no, well done on you, and when you grabbed the mic, I shat myself. I was like, what's he got to say, blah, blah, blah.
I shat myself.
So when I go back to the hotel, he's waiting in the lobby with me, for me. So when I walk in though, one of my mates who I work with, Brian Higgins, who I work with the day of the doorway. So he's there, and Arne's at me, by the way, I've no got Twitter, you're arguing with my agent. I was like, okay, he's like, do you fancy a pint? And I'm like, no, I'm going up the stair to chill for a bit in the room, so... That was my conversations with Aaron. So he is actually no bad guy.
It's just one of the things, isn't it? It gets, and I think what you take away from that is, well, you're not normally going to be fighting. That's pretty much never, that's not going to happen. So, I think episode 6 is a lot.
I know.
What's that? Is that an hour and a half?
Oh, God knows. Cheers.
This is the longest one we've done, mate.
Fucking. I need to be in my bed.
Cheers for coming on, Paul, though.
Aye, cheers for coming on, Paul. And cheers for really enlightening us about your sex life, mate. That was.
There's always got to be dick jokes.
Suck a
conversations,
dick.
Assholes.
Suck okay. A dick.
Wow. Last word before we go, biggest dick you've ever seen?
Jerry Diamond.
Oh, that's got to be his ringtone, isn't it? Biggest dick I've seen, Jerry Diamond. Every time I look in the mirror, mate.
But as always, guys, thanks very much for tuning in. Just remember, guys, like, rate, share, subscribe, do all that lovely stuff for us.
Who have we got coming on next week? Is it D Maxwell?
Oh, aye, D Maxwell, so female comedian, Facebook superstar, will be joining
us. She will be watching, so D, you can stop mailing me now. It's official. Paul loves you. No, do that mailing. You'll be on the podcast.
Sweet.
Are you ready?